Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Jared is in the house. Hi, Jared.
I'm good.
By the way.
Hi. I'm good. Sorry. I got confused. Is my clock off?
A little early today, it looks like.
I walked in. I thought you were recording something.
No. I wish we had timed this. Wish we had a camera on your face when I tell you this, because I don't think you know this. I'm leaving at 9:30.
Oh, I think I knew that.
Okay. I didn't know if you knew.
My condolences, by the way.
Thank you. Anyhow, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. Looking at this, there was a mock draft, a revisited mock draft by a guy on ESPN.com, Jonathan Givony, after the combine that happened last week. And it's kind of interesting to see where some of these guys are. I think it's going to be...
Well, everybody wants to know what's at six.
A lot to talk about. Actually, it's not Scotty Barnes. I know that's been a guy that has been most of the time at six has been Scotty Barnes of Florida State. And, you know, he kind of fits the mold of what Sam Presti has drafted in the past. Athletic, long, loads of potential, can't shoot. He's actually moved up the board to five.
Okay.
And sliding down to the Thunder is none other than another guy. Long, athletic, loads of potential, can't shoot. Jonathan Kuminga, who played in the G League this last year. I think it's going to be – we talked with Jim, and I you know, Devion Mitchell is a guy that we're super familiar with here in Big 12 country. And he was a guy, he's 22 years old, he's 6 foot, he was a great defender, shot 45% from three. He makes sense, but at the same time, is he too, I don't know, developed for what the Thunder are trying to do here?
A la too old?
Too old and just too...
What is he, 22?
He's 22, 22 and a half. Not only too old, but too – we know – I think that's the – when you hear 22, you're thinking, okay, yeah, he's 22 years old. But I think a lot of the people around the league, the reason they view that as, say, a negative against some of these guys is that at 22, you know what they're going to be because they're already kind of there.
Right.
Versus somebody that's 18 or 19 that you're not sure exactly where that ceiling is.
You want to get in on them early and – hope they develop like you think they can.
That's right.
You're basically saying Mitchell has, could he possibly already hit a ceiling?
That's right. Or, it not only hit a ceiling, but also I think where your team is. Like, see, to me, he's 7 to Golden State. That makes perfect sense because he's a guy that's an older guy that's already kind of refined his skill to where he can step into a team that's going to be competing for a championship.
Golden State wants to win now.
That's right.
They don't want to wait around.
And they've got the guys to do it if they all come back healthy.
Right.
And where he fits seamlessly into that. Whereas on the Thunder side, with the way where their franchise is in the rebuilding phase, I think they're going to be more apt to not necessarily take a flyer, but be patient, trying to see if they can get a guy with the high ceiling and develop him for a few years to see where that ceiling might be.
Which always has kind of fit the Thunder mold, right?
Yeah,
I mean, even to a point where if it's not to – well, it's always going to benefit the Thunder. I mean, you don't draft somebody to help someone else out. But, I mean, look at Reggie Jackson, for instance. You know, he had his moments in Oklahoma City, won it out, sure, got traded. Look what he's doing now. Where he's ended up. who else comes to mind?
Yeah,
who's been here campaign. I mean, who's been here, you know, Presley sees potential in people. And then he sees it for two reasons. One, to help you on the court and help you off the court too.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting with the way the draft is. I almost think it's harder for teams that are just kind of missing one or two things. I mean, you think about the history of even just the Thunder. Sure, Presti nailed this top, you know, with Harden, Durant, and Westbrook. But it's almost easier to do that to me than it is when you're picking in the late teens or 20s when you're good and going to be good to figure out, okay, which one of these guys will be able to help. I mean, like Cameron Payne is a perfect example to me. When he was here, he wasn't ready to contribute to a championship-winning team. But that's what the Thunder were at that point.
Right.
With Harden, or I'm sorry, with Durant and Westbrook. That's what they were. And so, you know, there's that balancing act, I think, between, okay, you have to get a guy that can contribute now, but also be in your future plans, but they don't have time to develop. You need to be kind of be ready-made. And so to me, it's pretty interesting that a guy like Devion Mitchell is available kind of where you don't see a fit like this very often in the lottery for a team that's ready to win now.
Yeah.
Especially top 10. And that's where Golden State is. And so are they going to end up having another rabbit's foot with the luck of Curry kind of being injured early, which led him to take a minuscule deal in his second contract that then allowed for them to build around how great he was, and he was playing for peanuts compared to everybody else on the second contract. And then as that's about to come up and he's going to start making mega money, then the salary cap and the tax skyrockets all at once, which allows them to fit Durant in. And now, the unfortunate part of Klay Thompson basically being out for 2 years leads them to, you know, Minnesota was dumb enough to win, what, 6 of their last 10 mm-hmm. to move out of the good spots in the lottery pecking order, which then allows Golden State to get that pick at 7. And, oh, by the way, there's a guy ready-made to step into a lineup like that and contribute. Just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And if you really, really didn't like Golden State then you will probably now if they go and get a guy like this and automatically they're Western Conference favorites, depending on what the Lakers do or what – or how healthy they are. So, you know, moving down this mock draft, I just pulled it up here. 16, I'm not going to attempt to say this name. What country is that? Alperen Sengun? From?
That's the town. It's the Besik.
Is that the
that's the team.
The team?
Yes. Euro team.
I'm afraid to try to pronounce these and a bad word slips out of my mouth. Besiktas? I can't say it.
Besiktas?
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 18-year-old, obviously from Europe. And the readout on him says, I mean, some say his potential is high. He's a power forward center. And how about your boy at 18, Moses Moody?
I know
that. Did you like Moses
Moody?
Heck
yes, I like Moses Moody.
Yeah.
You know, he is he's kind of what the Thunder have tried to draft, or his potential is that. But the difference, I think, between Moody and some of the other guys that we've seen come through here is I think you're going to help him improve on one end and not the other. And that's I think he's going to have to improve defensively to be what he can be, but on the other end, he's way better offensively than a lot of these guys we've seen Presti draft in the past, you know, with Robertson and, you know, Perry Jones and some of those guys that they've tried to make 3-and-D guys, they had the D but not the 3. And I think Moses Moody is a little bit opposite of that coming into the league. He's more of the 3, and can he become the D? Which, with the way the league is going, that seems to be kind of where, you know, you get out in front of it. And it'd just be nice to see the Thunder have multiple guys that can just shoot the basketball. That's never really been the case. What do you think about Kai Jones? Long, lanky, Texas, young guy. He always seemed to me to kind of flash athletically. And then, of course, then you have that word potential. Can he be able to add some shooting to his game and you know, move out to, you know, say a Serge Ibaka type, where he's able to knock down pick and pop mid-range jump shots over and over and over. And, you know,
where's he landing at?
He's at 14 to guess who? Golden State. I've seen him down, though, in the 16 to 18 range, yeah, with the Thunder in some of these other mock drafts.
You know, I'll say this about Texas. We love to knock them and we have fun with it. But as far as their basketball program is concerned, sure, they don't go deep in the playoffs or in the NCAA tournament as consistently as they have in the past when Ricky Barnes was in charge. But they still produce a lot of NBA talent. I mean, a lot of NBA talent. And based on that history, I would be okay with taking a guy from Texas, taking a guy like Kai Jones, sure.
I mean, one of the guys that the Thunder took from Texas worked out pretty well.
I would say so.
I
would say so. But, I mean, the list goes on and on, right? Who's the point guard that came to the Thunder? I thought
DJ Augustine.
Augustine. He was very effective. I mean, they put guys in the league.
Big guys, too. It seemed they've had a run of big guys that you don't even remember played at Texas because they really just play 1 year.
Yeah, that's been the Texas model.
Kind of has.
It's been the one and done. And again, Texas, they always kind of underperformed, it felt like, especially after when Ricky Barnes was let go. It just felt like they've always underperformed with a lot of talent. What's that sound like?
Yeah.
Their football program. But unlike their football program, their basketball program puts a lot of guys in the NBA. So that being said, Kai Jones, I think, would be a comfortable pick if he fell that far. No, he's 20. He's old.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, Mo Bamba has been great. I mean, there's some misses, too. But, you know, Jared Allen's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Right now, you know. I mean, the thing is, you don't even remember him playing at Texas.
No,
because
I don't.
Because, like you said, short stints in the tournament. They don't really haven't had a chance to make their mark on a national stage much.
No, I mean, unless you're one and done guys like a Trae Young or a Zion, you know, you remember that because they're in that national player conversation, you know, award conversation. But no, in Texas, they don't have those guys. But it makes you think, you know, what if they stuck around for a couple more seasons? You know, I know that's not the model now, and that's not how it works, but Texas could be perennial powerhouse if guys like that stuck around and developed at Texas as opposed to going to the league. But, again, I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with picking a Texas guy because they know how to draft them. They just can't keep them on campus, but they turn into solid guys in the league.
I think it's going to be interesting to see the difference in philosophy now versus in the past from a recruiting standpoint down there. Chris Beard has never been a guy that's really been able to get the top flight talent out to Lubbock. He's been able to use the portal or some, you know, kind of look for his type of guy on the recruiting trail. Now, when you're at Texas and you have all of the resources in the world, do you resist the urge for those top 5, top 10 guys nationally to build a better, you know, more stable program year in, year out, team-wise? Or do you kind of take a bite off that apple as many times as you can to get that top flight talent? You know, it's worked to varying degrees at Kentucky.
Right.
With Calipari, I think you can make the argument that when he was getting the top of the top guys, they were more successful than maybe they are right now when some of those guys aren't going there. you know? And so he's kind of reverted a little bit back to a normal philosophy. But is he reverting back, or is he just not getting the John Walls and the Anthony Davises and the Devin Bookers and the whoever else year in and year out like he was for the better part of last decade?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. It'd be hard not to.
It'd be hard to pass. If the number one player in the country wanted to come to your school, it'd be certainly hard to pass that up.
Yeah.
But would
especially if he came to your school or he, you know, you're recruiting him and, you know, gauging his interest. So, coach, I want to come play there, but I'll be completely upfront with you. I'm more than likely one and done. I mean, do you pass or do you? I mean, the fans would be livid, wouldn't you? If that got out, said, oh, he passed on the kid because he told him he's going to be one and done, so he didn't want him on campus. And then he goes off to say OU or an OSU or Baylor or Tech and has a phenomenal season. Everyone's going to see, we could have had that guy. It'd be hard for me as a coach to say, you know what, hey, thanks, good luck to you. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm looking for guys that want to be here longer. Oh, boy.
Be hard to do,
it'd
right?
Be hard to do.
But it might be the best thing for the program long term.
Yeah.
But you're right. If the story would ever get out, say you made it to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, got beat, and there was a guy playing somewhere else for that 1 year that wanted to be there, wasn't because he was going to, you know, you're always going to think as a fan, well, he's the guy that could put us over the top.
Right.
Why did we not take him?
Worst case scenario, you get to the Sweet 16, you play the team with the guy on it.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be even worse, obviously.
And you're pulling your hair out going, that guy could have been wearing the burn orange, but he's wearing that other jersey.
I think if you want to take that approach, you better be consistently winning.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be consistently winning. Otherwise, you're going to look pretty foolish. Oh, and you're going to alienate a bunch of fans.
I mean, imagine if Lon Kruger told Trey Young, you know what, Trey? I know you're a one-and-done guy. That's not what we're looking to do here. Thanks, but no. See you, buddy.
I think you can make the argument that team is better without him that year, the way it went.
The way it started hot, then it kind of, yeah.
I think you can make that argument.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's right or not, that's, you know, you'd never be able to settle that debate. But I think you could make that argument that as good as he was, the team didn't realize the potential that it had.
Right.
And I think you could make point to him as the reason.
Yeah.
From a chemistry standpoint, from the way he played, the way he was allowed to play. But at the same time, you're right. I mean, what is Lon Kruger just going to say? Oh, I'm sorry, Norman North kid.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Turn down talent like that. That's I think the answer, the long answer to that question was, if you're Chris Beard or any coach in the country, you can't turn down a top five guy like that in the country. You just can't, even though if he's going to be a one and done guy. You got to take a chance.
Does it matter to you how, from a case by case basis, meaning you take one kid when you wouldn't take another. Maybe it's attitude. Maybe it's work ethic. Maybe it's fit on your team. Or do you just go, you know what? The talent is way too much. We're taking him no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, are you asking me, would you take a guy that's way talented, a guy with a bad attitude, a me guy, but he has all the talent in the world. He's a top five recruit over a kid that's
– not over. Just would you take that one? I mean – obviously, anybody's going to take, you know, a Cade Cunningham who came in, was all about the team, all about winning, and had that attitude, and still had that talent. Obviously, you're going to take that.
Sure.
But does it make you do a second thought if you have a kid that has the talent that Cade possesses, but you're worried a little bit about the attitude and the fit on the team? Does it matter where your team's at? Going into the next year.
Like as a program where
they're
at.
That's right. You know, because you see teams all the time in the NFL or NBA or whatever, like the Patriots are a perfect example of this. With the culture that they had built, they were able to take on a Randy Moss and try to mold him into what he became. Now, it worked sometimes with him. Other times it didn't. You know, when you took in Antonio Brown, didn't work out as well. Or you took in the trouble guy from Baylor. Golly, what's his name? Josh, the one that's been suspended a bunch of different times for drugs. What's his name? Anyway, you know, with that culture, you're able to do that. Other places, it doesn't make any sense. And I wonder how much those college basketball coaches specifically are going to have to start thinking about this. Because with the portal,
yeah,
they're able to, you know, maybe you don't get quite the talent, but you're also able to get a guy that's proven that you know can come in and fit seamlessly.
Right.
I think it's going to be really interesting. Really super interesting. I'm not sitting here telling you
yeah.
teams are going to start turning down five-star talent.
No.
But I wonder if they reevaluate it just a little bit on a case-by-case basis
of
the kid.
Well, with the portal, bring him in. Who cares? Bad attitude or not, bring him in. Doesn't work out. Hey, son, I'm going to encourage you to go enter the portal.
Yeah, maybe that's true, too. It gives you a way. It gives you an out.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out. Last night, the L.A. Clippers, kind of the comeback team of these playoffs, obviously, with two series where they were down 0-2 to come back and win to advance to the Western Conference Finals. First team ever to do that twice in one playoff run. And now they're on the comeback trail again, trailing 3-1 to Phoenix. They went into Phoenix last night, won Game 5, 116-102. Paul George was magnificent. A perfect time. If you had yes as the answer to Jim's question about whether or not he had kind of changed the narrative of playoff P, if your answer to that question yesterday was yes, you look like a genius last night, as he went for 41-13 on 15 of 20 shooting. Only the fourth guy in the history of the NBA to go for 40-10 and make 70% of his shots in an elimination game for his team. You know the other three?
Who?
Names you've probably heard of. LeBron James, Patrick Ewing, Wilt Chamberlain.
I've heard of those guys.
It's a decent list to be on.
Yeah.
But he was great. He just was. And Phoenix, you know, they did win game 4, 84-80 with Chris Paul back in the lineup. But is it just me, or does it feel like there's just a little something missing between games 1 and 2 for Phoenix without Chris Paul? And these last three with him, it's just not quite clicking at the level it was before CP3 had to sit out with the COVID.
They are hoping to, they were certainly hoping to win last night, obvious statement, but to end this thing so they can get back to practicing and get it doesn't look like they're reacclimated with the return of CP3. Plus, there's a lot of pressure there. I think everybody on that team, everybody in that building wants CP3 to get to the finals for the first time in his 15, 16-year career.
Yeah, 05 draft, yeah.
So, you know, everyone in the country is rooting for that to happen. It makes a great story. But it's like they're pushing it too hard last night. And you're right. It doesn't look like they're meshing like they were before he went out with the protocols. So, That you know, they need to end this thing and hope Milwaukee stumbles around with Atlanta, or Atlanta somehow ekes out some wins and extends that series so they can just get some time and get reacquainted with Chris Paul.
To that point, you know, Chris Paul, he's got the most points, all-star selections, and all NBA selections for a player in league history to never appear in the finals. All-star 11 times, all-NBA 10. 2,472 playoff points in his career. And there is a lot of pressure on him to be able to get there. You know there is. Because he's kind of, I mean, there's certain guys, you know, that never win championships. You know, you think of Barkley, you think of Ewing, you think of obviously Carmelo and John Stockton. But they all got there at least and got the chance to play for the title. CP3's kind of in his own little world of stars of stars for eras. I mean, he's one of the best 5 or 10 of kind of this era.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he hasn't even gotten to the finals. So there's really not a lot of guys in the history of the league like him. You know, there's a bunch that didn't win the ring, but there's not very many that never played for it. So that's got to be a ton of pressure on him. And, you know, seeing him fall last night on the Beverly play, golly, if you forgot why you hated Patrick Beverly as a Thunder fan,
yeah,
watch last night. You remember pretty quick the way he was prancing around and just annoying.
Yeah.
Or worse, but can't really say those words on the radio. But, you know, who didn't just cringe thinking, oh, no.
Here we go.
Is this it for Chris Paul? Thankfully, it wasn't. But I think there's just, you know, the longer this series goes, the more pressure that gets mounted on the Suns. And somehow, some way, Tyronn Lue, I don't know. No one thinks he's a great coach, do they?
But he's probably very likable. I mean, a lot of the players like him.
He sure figures out a way for his team to play when they're down.
Yeah.
But everybody's making fun of him. You know, after game four, going, oh, well, you know, this isn't the first time I've been down 3-1. We've done it in the past. Yeah, well, he had LeBron. I mean, I think Jim mentioned it yesterday. But there's something about him to where he gets those guys going when they're behind in series. And you know, Paul George he answered that question last night in a resounding yes. He has changed.
Yeah.
Changing the narrative.
Biggest stat from him? 8 for 8 from the free throw line.
And that's the weird thing about it. He's a really good free throw shooter. Yeah. It just bit him at the wrong time.
But I think for him to solidify that playoff P is back, he's going to have to get past this series and maybe even win the title itself.
Well, if not, I don't necessarily think he has to win this series, but he can't be the reason they lost. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you go down swinging, firing in 40 and making 70% of your shots and your team loses, well, you get an attaboy. Great job. Yeah. You just didn't, you know, the narrative is, well, they almost won without Kawhi because Paul George was so great. Just think about if Kawhi would have been there. They win that series easily.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can almost hear those words being spoken. Clippers now have 7 wins when trailing in a playoff series. That's the most in any single postseason in NBA history. I mean, you feel like this is going 7, right? I mean, it's almost inevitable.
Felt like, yeah, even before it went 3-1. Even after, I felt like, yeah, this is if there's any team that can come back and they've proven it this year, it's the Clippers. Sure.
I know, and they're going to ruin it for everybody, aren't they? They're going to ruin the small market or the new blood finals, and they're probably going to win the
title. Like I said, I'm okay with it, especially okay with it without Kawhi.
No doubt.
Because if Paul George can make this his team – and do it with his supporting cast, even with that word we can't say, Patrick Beverly.
Yeah.
I'm oddly okay with that.
Because it doesn't feel like the super team wins.
No.
It feels like the one-star team is going to win.
Yes.
Because Kawhi was hurt.
Yes. You got Paul George on this team. You got Booker on the other team. I'm counting out Chris Paul because he hasn't been Chris Paul since he's been back. Trae Young on Atlanta. And, of course, the Greek Freak on Milwaukee.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
They got nice supporting cast.
No offense, the guy has been unbelievable. But who in the heck thought it was even possible to win a playoff game with Reggie Jackson as your second best player?
Oh, yeah.
No offense to Reggie, but come on. And they've done it. It's a weird feeling with the team down 3-2 and not having home court in Game 7, but it feels like the Clippers are the favorite. It just feels like they're going to get it done. And a big reason is Paul George he was incredible last night. And outside of a couple of free throws in this series, I think he's answered a ton of questions. Now, do I still think he can be the best player on the best team and win the title? Maybe he's going to prove me wrong, but I would say no. It just doesn't seem like he's that guy. But that's his task, right?
Yeah.
To change all of those thoughts is winning the title this year without Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, that'll
– and all of a sudden it feels like even though they're down 3-2, it feels like it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
All right,
Reggie Jackson, I know. Real quick, final point, Reggie Jackson. Who do you think the best three-point shooter is in the playoffs this year?
Him?
It's him. You'd think Trae Young, right?
Reggie Jackson. Made some big ones. But, yeah, Reggie, it seems like he doesn't miss.
Yeah.
8 of 14 last night with 23.
You'd even think Booker before Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's Reggie.
It's crazy. Crazy how good he's been. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, DeMarcus Cousins' corpse has 15 on 7 of 12 shooting.
That guy.
Just crazy. Anyway, all right, I got to go.
All right.
Everybody have a great day. You want me to not hit this or so that you still have that break?
hit it. I'll make do.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I think we'll talk college football next.
There you go. Everybody have a great day. We will be back tomorrow. Enjoy the rain.
You will. I'm sticking around.
That's right. Jared will be back. We got Jim coming out on Thursday. Don't forget Barber Dyson Ford. Jim will be doing the show live from Barber Dyson on Thursday with us in the house.
Jared Atha sitting in the driver's seat for the next, 28 minutes or so? 24 minutes. My math is horrible. Aaron Kalk out. I'm in, and I'm going to try to sail on through this. I'd love input from listeners. 580-225-9698. You are more than welcome to text on in. Give us your thoughts. We love all of the input that we got. And, I love it because it's going to help me get through the rest of this hour. And, I mentioned we'll talk college football. We'll get to that because one publication has already released their preseason all Big 12 team in anticipation of this college football season. We'll break that down for you in a little bit and get your input on maybe who they missed out on, if they got it right, if they got it wrong. One thing that slipped kind of past Aaron and I's radar is the OSSAA's board, their meeting that they had a couple of weeks ago. And I might, I'll just put this news out there, and then maybe me and Aaron can talk about it when he gets back tomorrow. But the board voted 8-2 to ask for a probationary period of one full year when NFHS Network would be required to address issues in its streaming contract. If not, the OSSAA would be allowed to leave a contract now set to run through 2028. Interesting news. And, us as broadcasters, we've been really watching this whole thing play out. Of course, it all started back in the basketball playoffs with the incident up in Tulsa. And now it's led to this, where the NFHS would be required to address, or excuse me, the OSSAA asking for a probationary period. So it looks like for 1 year, the NFHS network will still be a part of the OSSAA, but it still looks like the OSSAA wants out of that contract that's set to run through 2028. And it says, and this is the thing, and this is coming from the Tulsa World from reporter Mike Brown, and we give him credit there, required to address issues, plural, issues in its streaming contract. What are those issues? We have a lot of issues in some regard with how they do things, with how we can't turn a camera on when we go to games, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd be curious to know what the other issues are. Will the OSSA continue to have a relationship with the NFHS after this next academic school year? So something to keep an eye on. And we'll talk more about that, Aaron and I will, probably in the near future. Now, let's shift our focus to college football. This is from collegefootballnews.com. If you've never seen this website, go check it out. It's basically a time filler if you're ever bored at work or sitting around at home and you're just a college football junkie like most of us are out here in this part of the state. It's a good website to check out. They do team by team previews in the offseason leading up to the season. And there's a lot of teams in college football, and we're talking about every single team, and they kind of build it up to the bigger teams towards the closer of the season. Again, great website. And, you agree with it, you don't agree with it. There's a lot of stuff I don't agree with them, but a lot of stuff that, just a lot of interesting content that they put out there. And today, they've released the preseason all Big 12 football team for this upcoming year. And they start off with the bang, the preseason offensive player of the year. They're dubbing quarterback Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma as the guy that's going to shine this upcoming year. Of course, other candidates include Iowa State running back Breece Hall, Texas Tech's quarterback Tyler Shough. I think that's how you say his name. Could end up being one of the top passers in the 2023 NFL draft. They're kind of looking at this guy, could be the next Patrick Mahomes in a sense, coming out of Texas Tech. And you can't overlook Texas running back Bijan Robinson. But they're going to give it to Spencer Rattler, mainly, I think, because of how he performed last year. Kind of a rocky start ever since the Texas benching when he came back, led him to that 4 overtime win, and just cruised through the Big 12 from that point on, winning the conference title. and winning the Cotton Bowl over Florida and looked good doing it. And that, you know, a lot of expectations for him for the potential number one pick in next year's NFL draft. The defensive player of the year is going to be the preseason defensive of player of the year, linebacker Mike Rose, senior out of Iowa State. You know, that's the thing about Iowa State. You hear about Breece Hall, you hear about Brock Purdy, but, man, they have a really, really solid defense, and it's thanks in large part to Mike Rose. They're loaded, and I'm really leaning on them, and I'm quoting this, they're loaded with experienced, talented players on the defensive side and on the offensive side, Breece Hall, Brock Purdy, like I said. But Mike Rose, 6'4", 225-pounder, he might be the team's best player, and that's saying something. Let's move on, see the rest of the All-Big 12 team. Running back Breece Hall, no surprise there. Second string, Robinson out of Texas. Wide receivers include Marvin Mims of Oklahoma and R.J. Sneed, a senior out of Baylor. Tight end, Charlie Kohler out of Iowa State. That guy's going to go, I think, top 15, maybe even top 10 in the draft. The dude is a special, special talent. Offensive tackle, Wanya Morris of Oklahoma. Offensive guard, Xavier Newman Johnson from Baylor. Look, a couple Baylor guys in the first string here. Center, Noah Johnson, a senior out of Kansas State. Josh Sills, Oklahoma State, is named on the other offensive guard, offensive tackle, Brandon Yates from West Virginia. The defensive players look like this on this preseason team. Mathis from TCU, defensive end, defensive tackle. Dante Stills from West Virginia, defensive tackle. Isaiah Thomas from Oklahoma, defensive end. Will McDonald of Iowa State, linebacker. Terrell Bernard of Baylor. Nick Benito of Oklahoma. And Mike Rose, like we mentioned earlier, of Iowa State, cornerback. Haj Tomlinson of TCU, and the safeties, Greg Eisworth of Iowa State and Jalen Petrie of Baylor, and cornerback Deshaun Jameson of Texas. Special teams, Gabe Berkich of Oklahoma, the kicker, Austin McNamara, the punter from Texas Tech, kick returner Deshaun Jameson of West Virginia, and punt returner Phillip Brooks of Kansas State. Very cool. And, man, you know, the one team that stood out a lot to me after reading this list that produced some players on this list is Baylor. Is it second year with their new head coach? They could be one of those surprise teams in the Big 12. Everyone's going to look at OU, Iowa State, Texas, even Oklahoma State as those top-tier teams in the league. But could Baylor be creeping up in that conversation of a top four, top three team? Haven't really checked out their schedule, but they produce or expected to produce a lot of good players based on this list right here. And if you go to this website, you also see a list of the top 30 players in the conference, regardless of position. And obviously number one is Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma. Number two, Breece Hall from Iowa State. I'll just read top five. Number three, Mike Rose of Iowa State, the linebacker. Number four, Robinson of Texas. Number five, Eisworth of Iowa State. Iowa State is three of the top five players in the conference. But the number one spot went to OU's Spencer Rattler. Just tells me it's going to be a fun year coming up in the Big 12. And again, they have a team preview available for Oklahoma, too, at collegefootballnews.com. So interesting stuff right there. And we talked NBA. I might circle back to the NBA and kind of look at tonight's game. Good one coming up tonight. What game is that? It's going to be Atlanta and Milwaukee. Atlanta leading that series. And can Trae Young be effective with a bone bruise? Will he even play with a bone bruise? Down 2-1. Atlanta, this is definitely a must-win for them. Milwaukee coming in at the 7-point favorite. But if Trae Young is not healthy, man, I could see Milwaukee just blowing them out of the water. What do you think? Let me know. 580-225-9698. That game tonight at 6:30 in Atlanta. That's like about the only thing that Atlanta has going for them is that it is at home. But without Trae Young, I can't see that thing going very well for the Hawks. And it looks like the Greek Freak is on his way to his first finals. If they can clinch this game tonight and then turn around and go back to Milwaukee for game six, it would be, game five. It would looks like it's all pointing Milwaukee's way. And I hate that. We love Trae Young here, and we absolutely hate the fact that he could be bowing out. Well, I mean, this is later than the playoff series than what we thought we'd get him, but you hate that because of an injury, a freak one at that, stepping on a ref's foot, which is nobody's fault. I've seen the video. The ref wasn't in out of position, I don't think. He looked like he was in good position to me. It was just one of those freak things. He just stepped on his foot, rolled his ankle. Now he has that bone bruise, which could have been worse. It's not like he can't play, but you'd love to have Trae Young at 100% and see if he could will his team to a win. And it'd be something if he is able to play. He's listed as questionable, but let's face it, he's playing. If he goes out there, has a great performance, and pulls out a win, I mean, that'd be one for the ages. I just don't see it. Because with that bone bruise and that foot, the thing that Trae Young has turned himself into that has been really good is how he's getting in the lane and those floaters. And I don't see it happening because when you take that shot, it looks like you're lifting off of one leg. I'm not sure he can do that with a bruised foot favoring on one side and then favoring the other leg. It just doesn't look like a good spot for Trae. So you might have to switch things up. You might be seeing him take more threes than what he would like to tonight. And if he starts hitting those threes, and if Atlanta shuts down, not Giannis, but shuts down Chris Middleton, that's keys for me for Atlanta to win that game. We'll see if it can happen. Sneak in an extra break. We'll come back and wrap things up. And as I struggle to find something to talk about, you want me to talk about something? You want to throw in some input? You want to give a shout-out to your softball player, your baseball player, your golfer, anybody out there, your guys or gals, text it in. I'd love to give shout-outs. 580-225-9698. We're kind of in that dead period of local sports where we don't have a lot to talk about as these summer programs are wrapping up. Now, I will say this. We only have about a month off, which is crazy to me, a month off before we start seeing fall camp pick up for football. We start seeing fall baseball start to pick up as far as practices are concerned, and fall softball as well. I'm fully aware of that one. And then we're going to blink, and we're going to have some Big Elk football and high school football start to kick off Merritt football throughout the area, and it's going to be a blur as we just lightning fast through that season. All of a sudden, it's basketball season, and then we're talking about spring baseball and softball again next year. But this is like that one time a year where it just suddenly comes to a halt, suddenly comes to a stop. So we kind of struggle with some stuff to talk about. But I love the giving out those shout-outs. Maybe you want to give a shout-out to a team that had a fantastic year. Text it in, 580-225-9698. Text it in. Tell us your record, how they did, maybe some highlights of the season. Hey, that's what this show's about, keeping it local and talking about those local teams. Here on a Tuesday morning, rainy Tuesday morning out there. My goodness, how about this weather out there? Be careful, please. I know there's areas, low-lying areas, that have retained a lot of water because of this rain that happened throughout the weekend yesterday and even today as we speak. Look at the forecast real quick as I attempt to fill time. Showers, thunderstorms, likely 70% chance pretty much all day today. We're only going to get up to near 78 east-northeast breezes between 6 and 8, and new rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half of inch possible. Just be careful. Turn around. Don't drown. Don't drive to that standing water that's coming across the road or that rushing water that's coming across the road. Not a good idea. Never is. And just enjoy this wet weather that we're getting. It's like we traded weather with the Pacific Northwest because they're up there in Portland, Oregon, and in those areas up there. They're dealing with record heat, like hotter temperatures that we have ever seen, which is hard to fathom because it gets hot out here sometimes, especially this time of year. Not today, though. 78 with rain. And that's our forecast for basically tonight. And it kind of tapers off throughout the week. The fortunate thing is, by this weekend, I don't think we're going to see much rain, and we're not going to see a lot of heat either. It'll be warmer than what it is today, but not 100-degree weather like 85 for the 4th of July. Perfect weather. So enjoy all this rain. This is perfect, right? All this rain right now. Remember in the past where we've had burn bans and we couldn't fire off fireworks, and it was just a dull 4th of July? All you could do was snakes and maybe the poppers. That's about it. But this year, I don't think I have a problem with that because it's going to be really, the ground's going to be very saturated by the 4th of July weekend. And I think we'll be okay coming up this weekend. What to talk about? Someone text in, asked to give, you know, give shout outs. Clinton Red Tornadoes, state runner up. What sport? Help me out here. What sport are we talking about? Clinton Red Tornadoes, they've won a lot of state titles and have brought home some silver, more gold than silver. I might be a little bragging there since I'm an alum of Clinton. But what sport, Billy? Tell me what sport. I want to give them a proper shout out. And I love giving these shout outs. 580-225-9698. All right. Are you going to watch the Olympics? I'm not. You know, Aaron kind of touched on it with the whole hammer throw thing with the girl who finished third place, by the way. And it took focus away from the first place finisher and even the second place finisher. But because of the whole protest stance, I really have 100% zero desire. Does that make sense? 100% zero? Zero desire to watch the Olympics because of all this stuff. And that's a shame, right? Because of what Aaron said about that is the glaring obvious reason why I don't want to watch it. But I know there are more athletes going to Japan to represent the United States, that support the United States, that do not want to burn the flag, that wants to stand there on that podium, on the highest rise podium, that's first place, as gold medalist, put their hand on their heart and listen to the national anthem with a tear in their eye. I know there's more of those than what is being reported, which is sad too. But the reason why I don't want to watch the Olympics is because I know exactly what I said. That's all you're going to see is the negative stuff. And I have zero desire to give my attention to that. It's a shame, really. It really is a shame. And my comment to the young lady who said she felt like she was set up because they played the national anthem. Well, newsflash, it was the ceremony of receiving your medal. Don't they always play the national anthem? Wasn't a setup. She should have known that was coming, right? Am I wrong? Shouldn't she know that the national anthem is played then? And I respect freedom of speech and all that, but to come out and say she felt like she was set up and all that, this doesn't make sense to me. You should have known the procedure, how that was going to work. And she clearly didn't. And that's the mind-boggling thing. It just seems like I understand you have a cause that you're standing up for, and that, you know, I get all that, but it just seems like you're just trying to bring the spotlight to yourself more than your cause. But that's neither here nor there, I guess. But anyways, the Olympics don't really interest me. They don't. I mean, the basketball team is going to dominate. Are they playing golf? I might watch some of the golf. I know they brought golf to Brazil, and that was interesting. That was cool. But are they playing golf? I don't know. And then, you know, the lack of spectators, too. I've almost had vendetta against sports that, like, for instance, the Stanley Cup Finals, game one was last night. It was in Tampa Bay. The crowd was awesome. Pardon the pun, but the Tampa Bay Lightning crowd was electric. It was awesome. And that's what playoff hockey is all. I mean, that's why I love it. That's why Skinny loves it. Is it's the intensity of the sport is amped up because of the crowd in the stands. I didn't watch 1 minute of the finals of the Stanley Cup Finals last year because it was played in a bubble with zero fans. It was so weird. You go to Canada, and I don't think they're allowing fans. If they are, it's going to be very limited. And that is a shame for the Stanley Cup Finals. They're playing. It's the Montreal Canadiens. And when that series goes up to Canada, I'm probably not going to watch because you're going to see tarped over seats. Not a big fan of it. Come on. We have vaccines. The numbers are they're low, 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 low COVID numbers. Let's move on. Let's open up the gates. Let's let the fans in. Let's have a Stanley Cup Finals worth remembering for the good reasons, not the bad reasons. But that's another reason why I'm not watching the Olympics, because Japan, I don't know why Japan, they've always been so efficient with everything, right? I mean, with technology, everything they do, you know, travel, everything. But they have been very, very poor on distributing the vaccine, getting their population vaccinated, and because of that, they're only going to allow, I believe, 10,000 fans, roughly 10,000 fans in each venue. which takes away, to me, it takes away from the sport. Whatever sport it may be, swimming, track, basketball, it takes it away. For me, it does. Just not a fan. Not a fan to watch it, and I hate that because Olympics is supposed to be the best athletes of the world every 4 years to get it, and it's just not really piquing my interest right now. The only thing I'm interested in, getting through July with this little break that we have, getting to August, and then once August hits, we're going to be, boom, getting ready for football. And I'm talking high school football, college football, NFL. It's going to be a blast. So I'm looking forward to getting through July, anticipating this little break in sports, at least broadcasting-wise for us, and then we really get the road running, and we go nonstop all the way through basketball season, all the way to the Big House in Oklahoma City. Hey, it's 10 o'clock. I got to get on out of here. Thanks for hanging out with me. Appreciate it. I tried my best there. And we'll come back tomorrow. Aaron will be back with you in the driver's seat. And who knows what we'll talk about. I might bring up that OSSAA-NFHS thing that it kind of went past our radar. We'll talk about that. Thursday's going to be fun. We're going to have Jim Traber. We're going to be live at Barber Tyson Ford. Hopefully you can join us. Everybody have a wonderful Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.